Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Matthew Donaghy. My co-host for this evening is Adam Weller. And tonight we're talking about global issues in 2020 that really seem to be having an effect on everybody at the moment. It's something that when we decided to do the first few shows, when we realized Penny was away and we sort of put the intention out to what are we going to talk about, this very much came up. So we're splitting the show into three parts this evening, and I'll explain what that's around. Let me just give Adam the chance to say good evening to everybody.
Yeah, hello everybody, and welcome wherever you're joining us from. Yeah, really, really interesting show tonight. It was one when we spoke about it, there were so many avenues we could have explored. We sort of decided to pick three and run with that.
Yeah, brilliant. So on this week's show, we're going to be discussing three of the global issues that are facing us in 2020 and really seem to be coming to a head. And the subjects we've chosen for this evening are really quite dramatic, and it's a good subject to talk about. Very much in our media at the moment, the first subject we're going to be discussing is suicide, because recently in the UK we've had a celebrity, Carolyn Flack, who unfortunately took her life recently, and it really has affected a lot of people. And I know in recent shows we've talked about the mental health awareness that's going on at the moment, and that's a big thing. And we were saying about trying to talk about it and take it one step further, because often when these things happen and it comes into the public awareness, people don't very know what to do. And I thought, well, actually, what can I do? And I thought, well, I'm doing the show and I've got a chance to sort of raise awareness, so I can do something, I can take an action there. And I know Adam's got some really interesting statistics around this, because I didn't realise just how large a problem it was, not only in England, but across the world. So let me just hand over to Adam for a minute.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. And to be honest, it wasn't until I started looking into it a few days ago that I actually sort of realised that for myself. You know, it was, it wasn't until I saw some cold hard figures that it was just like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like an epidemic issue.
Yeah, massive scale. So suicides worldwide per year, I think this was in 2018, it was around 800,000 people.
So nearly a million people a year.
Nearly a million people. To try and give some context to that, that would be like filling the Rose Bowl or Wembley Stadium nine times.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty shocking statistic when you actually take it on board. And it gets me really passionate, because very much what's going on in the UK, or what we're seeing, is here's a young girl, a very talented girl, that has made some sort of not so sensible decisions, and is what it is. We're all human, we all make mistakes. It is no big thing. However, the media make it a big thing, and they thrive on bad news. And unfortunately, when you take somebody that's in the public eye and is very much affected by the public eye, they've got to seem to be good. fortunately for us that aren't in the public eye, we can make a mistake and get away with it and move on and change our behaviour, and it's all good. Whereas people in the public eye are under such great pressure. And I think it doesn't matter, in very many ways, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter how much money you've got, it doesn't matter where you live. Suicide is a common problem within all walks of life. And it's easy to look at other people and think, oh, well, it's all right for them because perhaps they've got more money, they can do more things. And it's like money can be a good distraction, but often some of the loneliest people in the world are the ones with the most money, because they have a whole different set of issues and problems that we don't think about. So I think that's what makes this such a big sort of subject, is that so many people suffer from this. It was something that I suffered from at part in my life. I've shared within my story that I got to a point in my life where it was just like, I've just had enough of life being difficult and everything being hard work, and it felt like I was busting myself physically to try and succeed, and it just wasn't working. And I just got to a point where it's like, if this is life, like, either something has to change or I'm out. And I think it doesn't matter, again, like I say, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're from or what your experiences are. If we're all honest, we could put our hands on our hearts and say that actually, even if it was for a nanosecond, I felt like that once in my life. And the real important sort of issue is, or the real important solution is, when if we were just more honest and open, and it wasn't made a big thing that we were vulnerable or weak or anything like that, and it's just an experience that we experience. And just because we see it as a negative experience, there's a stigma attached to it. And that stigma doesn't allow people to talk about it. And then, therefore, it doesn't allow family members or experts to help them through it. And that's the real sad thing, that the reason it goes on, and the reason it's such a big or affecting so many people, is purely because we don't talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, that sort of breaks your heart when you think we're so disconnected as a human race that we can't communicate enough to help people that we love. With 7 billion people on the planet, you think about how long we've been on this planet, we may as well all be related. So when we talk about statistics, I almost see that as, well, there's 800,000 brothers and sisters we've lost this year. And without putting a dampener on it, it's like very much it's realizing the issue, but then trying to use the passion to push it forwards and make a difference. It's like, rather than dwell on it, it's like we need to start making a difference. And even if that starts from just starting to talk about it and tell people and say, you know what, I went through those times too, and I'm just a normal person, and there's nothing special about me, and I'm quite happily to admit that, because I think if more people admit that, yes, I felt like that, and it doesn't mean I'm mental at all, it just means I'm human. And if people realise that it's okay to talk about it, then there's part of the solution.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've probably experienced people or times in your life where it hasn't sort of worked, and or know somebody.
When I was, I think I was 14 or 15 years old, one of my friends at the time, she attempted to commit suicide, actually in my house. So it is something that I have, you know, a real first-hand knowledge of. I think, you know, as is a lot the case with a lot of suicides, or at least attempted suicides, a lot of the time it is just that cry for help, you know. It's where they've got to that point where it's like, what is the point? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. So they make a rash decision while they're, you know, in all sorts of different emotions, and, as we would say, head first in the swamp, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people explain it as it can come out of nowhere. It can take one situation within your life to dissolve in some way, and all of a sudden it feels like your world is just consuming you. And it is just that there are so many situations which cause these feelings. And again, I think the important point is to say that people need to be aware that it's not a weakness, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It's just, as we would explain it, it's an emotional imbalance. So for me, I had those thoughts, and I felt like that, and that was completely genuine. Does it mean I was mental? No, absolutely not. What it did mean is that I had years of suppressed emotions built up inside of me that I hadn't felt, and that was my life. When you suppress emotions heavily, which, unless you're taught how to do it when you're young, and we're just not taught schools how to use emotional tools, all those bottled up emotions create like a pattern within your life. So I would be walking around feeling all these negative emotions, and I was experiencing all these negative experiences, and it's kind of like, so now I've done the work and I've gone and I've flipped it. It's like every situation is good, and anybody can do this. Anybody can change their life and flip things around. The only person that can do it is you, and you have to make the effort. However, there is the help and guidance out there to help you get through it. I was helped through it with Acorn to Oak. So again, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But the real point that I wanted to get across is to just get out to people that actually it's okay to talk about these things. And often we shy away from talking about these things because they're not pleasant, and there's a part of us that feels bad because we all realize that we should be taking some sort of more responsibility and maybe making more of an effort, but then a lot of people don't know where to start. And it bleeds in very much with sort of like the next subjects we're going to talk about, one being spiritual and one being about the environment. Because again, I think it has to be a collective thing of people realizing and talking about it and making this a big thing, but making it a big thing about it in a graceful way, so that people don't feel vulnerable. When you're going through that, you feel vulnerable enough, the last thing you need to be is sort of exploited. And again, I think this is where a lot of, like the celebrities that have chosen to take their own lives, it's the pressure and the stress that's being put on top of them that sort of causes them to do it, which is real sad, because you think we're killing our own people, and that's the last thing we need to be doing. And it's in uniting and talking about it, I think it brings it to the surface. And if nothing else, if we make people realize that it's okay to talk about it, and loads of people go through it, and there are ways of dealing with it very effectively, and it's something that we can all do.
Yeah, and you know, for me, one of the things I think we sort of, as much as talking about it, we need to listen about it more, and that may sound stupid, but a lot of the times when people talk about this sort of thing, actually the person that's listening to it, you know, straight away they're brought up with all sorts of worry and, oh, they're going to do something silly and da 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 da, and then actually it ends up being more about them and what they're feeling than the person that's actually sort of talking to them and asking for the help. So, you know, I think it is, yes, you know, talking about it more, acting on it, but also actually, you know, if there is that someone that does ask you for, you know, for a chat or this, that, the other, listen to them. You know, don't just wait for them to pause for you to talk. Really give your time and listen to them and let them say what they need to say, you know, without judgment or sort of your thoughts or feelings getting in the way of that. Just allow them to really go for it, because, you know, the more people do that, the more people feel they can do that, and very much when you look at things on a, you know, on the scale of the world, well, actually, the more people that make those changes that they want to see in the world, the more people that start to do it, and the more that it will build momentum, and then, you know, it's not just one little country talking about it, it's actually, it's all over the world, and everybody's talking about it, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's the really important point. It's sort of like these things start at home, but it's hoping that you, well, it's the butterfly effect, isn't it? So, but yeah, I think for me, what came into my mind around, well, what can I actually do to help is, not only can I talk about it on the show and try and bring some awareness up around this, but also it's just in day-to-day life, it's being as kind as I can to people and talking to people, because I think it's something for me personally. I mean, I'm only 40, but I remember when I was younger, we used to walk down the shops and everybody would say hello to each other, and you'd stop in the street and have chats for 5 minutes, and it would take you an hour to go to the local shop and back. You'd stop and chat to people, and it's something I don't know about America, but it's something that's sort of, you get in the small sort of towns over here, but you're losing it in the big towns because everyone's rushing around and nobody's got time for anybody else, and it's, most people are on their mobile phones, and I think this is why, another reason why people feel so disconnected from the world. It's like this social media world, which is not really real, really. People get lost in that, and it can be so easy to get drawn in, and it sort of take over your life. And so I thought trying to be more kind to people and trying to have more conversations with people and just connecting with more people. And it's kind of like at work, it's like if there's a person that seems really quiet in the office, like just have a chat with them, get to know them, like try and make the effort with people. And it's not having sympathy for people and pointing out, oh, I think they could be a candidate, and it's not doing it for that reason, but it's just doing it to make a difference, because you may not be talking to people like, that feel like that, but it will still make a difference to people's lives, and it will make you feel better as well. So I just thought it's a way of starting to sort of make a difference. Something I'm going to introduce into my clinic is a specific day around this subject to help people, and do it as a pro bono thing. So it's giving something for nothing to try and help people. And I think, again, if everyone tries to make a little effort, it doesn't matter what the effort is, even if it is just making more time for other people. Every little effort has...
We can all do more.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah, but if you're in a good situation, so we're coming up to a break, and we'll see you on the other side shortly.
Yeah, that leads us nicely into the next subject, so we'll see you after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibilities, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Hey, so welcome back. So we're going to go into the second part of the show, and I think ending with it being around people uniting is really quite interesting, because the next subject we're going to talk about is spiritual, and very much what we've seen since January. There has been sort of like a global raising vibration, and a lot of people are hitting what they see as a spiritual awakening and experiencing it. And there's been huge numbers of people that are seeking the truth. And it's because of, some of it is because of the situations that we were just talking about, where life doesn't seem to make sense. And it seems like there's got to be more to life, because what we're witnessing in front of us doesn't seem right. And I think it's certainly something a lot of, I've had an influx in people asking around, what's my opinion around spirituality, and what do people do if they're having a sort of a spiritual awakening, and what does it mean? And so that's why I wanted to use this as the second subject, because it's very much, it is a global thing at the moment, where so many people seem to be sort of waking up and gaining a passion for sort of uniting and without being fluffy, love and joy, because that's what really seems to be missing in the world. And so I wanted to spend the second part of the show just talking about that, because something I've experienced in my life. And I was, the most grateful thing around that is that is the person I learned from, and that's Penny Quayle Pierce. And I'm sure she's listening and would love to be talking about this subject, because it's, I mean, I know all the subjects are close to her heart, but especially this one. Because Penny gave me the truth, and the way she spoke about spirituality was very different from everybody else that I'd heard talk about it. And it was almost very science-based, and Penny would tell me something and then say, don't believe me, go and try it. And through doing the work with Penny and learning about meditation and around what's true and what's not, I feel very lucky that I learned in that stable, because there is so much out there around spirituality that just guides people off in the wrong direction and leads them the long way round rather than taking the true shortcut. And it can be a confusing time when all of a sudden you're having this, what feels like a spiritual experience, because it feels strange. You don't know, you're not used to it. And a lot of puts a lot of people into fear. Put in that there's a lot of people out there not sort of necessarily speaking the truth. A spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience can be the most amazing thing. And when people are guided in the right way and told the truth, it's a real easy transition. Because the biggest thing for me when I was sort of having an awakening was I had this massive fear up around, oh my God, I have to change who I am. I'm not going to be the same person I was, and I'm going to have to give up all of my likes and this, that, and the other. And what I didn't realise is actually you don't have to change anything. And it's not about changing yourself. Changing your behaviours, yes, of course. But it's not about wearing tie-dye or changing my name to Moonbeam and claiming to be a healer or any of that. It's about having a deeper connection with the universe or God, however you'd like to explain it for me, the universe or the force, being a Jedi fan, really fitted for me because it was very much like it is this conscious or global consciousness that you feel tuned into that you haven't been tuned into before, and it can feel scary. But nothing has to change other than your personal relationship with it. And for me, that's what I loved about the teachings was actually that being spiritual doesn't mean you have to change who you are. It's just maybe adjusting some behaviours. And as we were saying before, it's like sort of being kind to people and talking to people and treating everyone like you're their family or they're your family. Like, treat them how you'd like to be treated. It's not differentiating one family from another or one race from another. It's saying, actually, we're all brothers and sisters. We're 7 billion people on a planet and we think we're not related. It's kind of like, you must be mad. So it's see everyone as your brother and sister. And there was, we did some great work with a Peruvian shaman. And the thing I loved about his spirit was they see it as we're all one big family and that's how we should be living. And when you look at, obviously that's why we chose the subjects of suicide to talk about earlier, because everything that we're talking about this evening has the same sort of undertone, which is it's very much about us uniting and becoming more working together and being more understanding, because that's the only way we're going to change things drastically. And I think we need to.
We definitely need some change, and very much with what you were saying, a spiritual awakening can be scary. I know for me it was using Breath of Life breath work sort of almost sped up the process a little bit. I found when some of the filters actually started to come off, I started to really dig deep and look within self and change my behaviours and heal my emotions and clear my clutter, I began to see more and more of the truth and what was happening and what was really going on in the world, and really beginning to see what is just distraction and delusion and what is important, from all the keeping up with the Kardashians and all that sort of stuff. The stuff on TV that really, on the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean anything about anything. Yet people rush home from work to watch it.
I wouldn't even consider it entertainment when you look at what it's about. But then people seem to be entertained by it.
I don't understand.
It baffles me. I think one of the things again, that it's sort of like breaking through the barriers of truth and just saying it real honestly, and how it is, because I think one of the things that drags people off is when you start getting spiritual, some of the sort of conspiracies around it I've heard are absolutely brilliant. I mean, talk about comedy sketches, some of them. I've heard that if you, because of the fluoride, that think it would take some practice, because that's what we're talking about with the third eye or the pineal gland. You've never used it in your life, or you may well have used it in early life, but you've learned not to use it for 10 or 15 years, and then you try and use it. It's not going to fire up and connect you straight to source, and you're going to have the most enlightening meditation you've ever had. It doesn't work like that. It's a muscle. You have to work it. So again, rather than people being told the truth about it, they're told some big conspiracy because somebody's tried meditation and it doesn't work. So they've come up with a theory, well, it must be a conspiracy and it's the fluoride in the water. And then millions of people get dragged offline because they think, well, I can't meditate because there's fluoride in the water. And it's just like, again, it's like the biggest load of rubbish which drags people off. And when you gain a higher perspective through an awakening, you feel as though you're seeing life from a bigger perspective than you were before, and that is absolutely true. However, it is easy to get into the conspiracy theories that necessarily about what we say. We make sure we don't swear and we do respect all walks of life. However, at the same time, we don't worry about what we say. When you know that something you're talking about is truthful, you don't worry about it.
I have a busy life, I have a busy job, da 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 da. How am I going to make time for this? And actually, I found the more I went on, it's almost like you long for it. It's like, actually, no, I need to make time for this. I need to have that bit of quiet or that salt shower after work to just wash away all the crap that builds up through the day. It's, yeah, and before you know it, you've gone from being in this, oh, I'm not sure, I think I'm having a spiritual awakening, to the realization that actually, yeah, you choose to live a spiritual lifestyle, and actually it gives you the best results you've ever had, you know. I mean, in my life personally, it wasn't until I took a spiritual and a holistic approach to my life, my health, everything. Mm. It wasn't until I'd done that that I really started to see some improvements. And
yeah, absolutely.
The changes and you know, the bits of gold and the bits of luck and fortune you get along the way. It's just like, that's when you then hit those, this is unbelievable, how is this happening to me? My life is amazing stage, you know?
Yeah. And again, as I said earlier, that's the flip I've seen in my life, where life has gone from a point where I thought, actually, I can't go on living like this, to, oh my God, I can't believe I feel like the luckiest guy in the world on a daily basis. And it is an incredible thing to have experienced. And that's why I'm so passionate about sort of speaking out, saying everybody can have this. Like, this is not an unusual thing. Like, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And it's, yeah, that's really why I wanted to talk about it, because it's that's what I can do. That's the action I can take to try and help. And obviously, we say on all the shows, if this has reached out to anybody, if you feel that you want to get in touch, like, please do. If anything we've talked about really resonates with you, and you're an organisation or an individual that thinks they could help and start moving things along, we're really interested in talking to everybody. And if anybody needs any help and support around this time, especially with the spiritual, because I did think it was some big thing. I didn't realise that actually spirituality just means that you choose to live a certain way by certain rules, and you choose to be kinder to people, including yourself, and it's about living a peaceful life. It doesn't mean that you have to change your life drastically, or like Adam was saying, you don't have to suddenly find more time. And by the way, it should not cost you a penny. And it is one of the most amazing experiences I've had in my life, and I haven't had to change. Sure, I've seen some of my behaviours where they're not helpful, but again, it relates to back to being mindful and thinking, well, I'll try and make the effort to be kinder to people, and I won't just ignore people when I'm walking down the street, because I wouldn't want people to ignore me, and that sort of thing. It means nothing more than that. And it's personal to you. It's about your connection with the force or the universe or God, or however you would like to reference it, because for different people it can feel very different. So yeah, I'm really looking to tie it into the next subject, because we're just going into another break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the environment and how we can help with that. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you after the break.
conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, and welcome back. The third part of the show, we're going to talk about some of the issues where we're talking about, obviously, global issues. And one of the ones that came up is the environment, because we've been aware for many years that we've raped and pillaged the planet, and we're now paying certain consequences. And we're seeing some weather at the moment, which is quite interesting in the UK, that we've had a serious amount of rain. Now, I live in an area that isn't usually affected by it, but we've had some effects, and we're extremely lucky that it's nothing major. It's just the rivers are up a couple of metres, and they're not quite bursting banks and that sort of thing. Fortunately, there's floodplains in the right place, so a lot of the houses are all right, but in parts of the country there's some really quite horrific circumstances going on. And it really resonates with me, especially on why for so many years have we talked about this subject, but it doesn't seem like anything gets done. And what really comes up for me is that we spend so much time procrastinating and arguing and sort of various different groups bitching at each other and making each other wrong, rather than uniting and taking some action and making a difference. And one of the situations that came up recently, which I just thought was so inappropriate, was you have a young girl, Greta Thunberg, I believe her name is, sorry if I got that wrong, but here's a young girl whose passion it would rival anyone's. She's speaking out around her concerns around the environment, and yes, she made some comments that against adults around it being our fault, and I totally agree with what she said. The thing that I thought afterwards was awful is how many adults were making her wrong. And took it personally rather than listening to the words she was saying. And again, it's going back to the first part of the show, it's when people are in the media, it's the good news isn't good news. Bad news is good news. That's what makes them the money. That's what they're interested in. So for them to promote this girl in a healthy way would not be good business. And I think the way it was put across, it was almost as if you were looking on the TV or listening to the radio, you would get completely the wrong idea of the message that this young girl's trying to put across. And as adults, rather than go into reaction and then shout back or make a comment back, we should be dealing with our reaction and going, actually, yeah, those words hurt. Because I know you're right. Because I know I could have taken more responsibility in my life. That's honest. And when we talk about taking responsibility, it is about taking responsibility and saying, you know what, I may not be solely responsible for the ice caps melting, but I maybe haven't been as mindful as I could have been. And again, it's not about beating anybody up. It's not about making anybody wrong. It's about saying, listen, we're in this situation. There is no point blaming anybody. That will not get us anywhere. There is no point in the youth of today fighting against the older generations and vice versa. There is no point in the older generation saying to the young generations, you're young and you don't know what you're talking about, because if we know it all, how did we get in this mess?
Yeah.
And you can see why the generations have issues with each other, but again, it's like we're not the problem and we're making it, and we caused the problem, but we're making more problems now, which is stopping us from actually uniting and making a solution or coming up with more effective solutions. There seems to be so much battling between different groups, and most of it, to be honest, it is just ego battling rather than people uniting and saying, yeah, we have a problem, right, let's work on it.
Yeah.
And this is why problems become global, because we spend so much time procrastinating about it that it becomes an epidemic before you know it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest about this one. It very much is a case of we're all in this together. You know, you can choose sort of with the other subjects that we've covered tonight to sort of say, yeah, well, doesn't really affect me or doesn't really interest me, but you know, it really doesn't matter if it's some of the bushfires that have been going on in Australia or the floods that we've been experiencing here in the UK or the ice caps. You know, I'm sure you could go around every country and there will be, you know, their own sort of issues for their climate and that sort of thing, but we really are in this together and we all need to do more. And I don't know how it is in the US, but for us, you know, we do have to recycle and we are ever more conscious of what we recycle and how we recycle and that sort of thing. But it does need to push right the way through the chain, you know. It does need to step up and step up, and obviously more and more companies are sort of jumping on board with these things, but it does seem very much at their will. You know, it's very much trying to, the more, you know, the more we do, the more other people does, and the more we all sort of can achieve together.
Yeah, and I think it often starts with the little things. So again, for me, it was it obviously starts with recycling and make sure we're recycling, but it's like if you go to a beach, take three bits of rubbish away that aren't yours. And there was a great little post on Facebook where this guy had gone to the beach. And he said, I think the caption was something like, this isn't my beach, but I'll treat it like it were mine. And it showed it before and after. And he collected something like 10 rubbish bags full of rubbish. And it's little actions like that that can make a huge effect. And you think, if we were all a little bit more mindful, and again, it's not about making ourselves wrong and getting on the negative, it's about going, hey, I could do more, so I will. And it's not about making people wrong and causing arguments. One sort of thing we witnessed in the UK last year was an event where people were protesting, and it was really interesting to watch the behaviour, because there were a group of young people that were trying to get their voices heard, but doing it in the most inappropriate way. Because the thing was, they ended up sort of doing certain protests at different parts of London, and basically blocking everybody from going to work and going against their daily lives. And these people that were trying to go to work and go about their daily lives believed in what these people were talking about. However, you ended up having people going against them because actually they weren't actually doing anything, or didn't seem to be doing it in a productive way. So what they seemed to do is wind up more people that actually supported what they were talking about. So you've got a group of people that actually has a word that's worth saying, and if it was done in a constructive way, would have gained a lot of support and a lot of attention around it. But I think probably what they did experience is a lot of negative, because they were just going about it in the wrong way. And I think for me, protests, they don't seem to work. We need to find a more constructive way of getting the word across, because they just don't work. They just inconvenience people, and then again, that just causes more arguments and takes the attention off of what their intention was in the first place.
Sort of the initial issue, because I very much see it as it's misdirected passion. You know, they're really passionate and they really want to make a change, and
yep,
they just do it in the wrong way. And you know, because they'd have a whole army per se behind them if their voice was heard in a different way. But when, like I say, when you're stopping Joe from getting to work, but actually Joe's on your side, then
it creates that divide. And the thing I think that's really important to get across here is people feel so disconnected that at one time in my life I felt so disconnected from life that putting my hands up, I didn't make the effort. I didn't sort of always throw my rubbish in the bin. I would flick a cigarette butt on the floor or something like that, and certainly something I wouldn't do today. But back then, when actually I didn't really care about myself, I wouldn't say I cared about the planet or anybody else either, which again is quite sad when you think there's people walking around feeling like that, and that is contributing to it. But again, that's why we wanted to tie these three subjects in, because although they're very different, they're actually very similar at the root, which is that people feel disconnected, and we need to sort of rebuild that connection. And the second part of the show, the spiritual awakening, that is about gaining a connection. And so for me, it's kind of, I totally get where people are coming from and that people are passionate. But what people miss is people go into reaction when somebody says something they don't like, and often hit anger. So they project anger rather than taking a step back and thinking about what they would like to say and then saying it in a passionate way, because it would be taken in a good way. The trouble is people get passionate and then throw anger at people. So you look at Gandhi. Gandhi freed India. Now, Gandhi didn't free India by getting angry. Gandhi freed India by feeling the anger and deciding to get passionate and do it in an effective way. And he freed India. And one man's action, one man's passion can do that.
What could a million
exactly
people with that passion do?
But it is doing, it just shows it's doing it, using that emotion to push it forwards and do it in an effective way. because, as Adam quite rightly said, I think people get passionate about it, but then they get angry because they can't make a difference. And then we need to have more compassion and say, we're in the same boat, we're on the same team here. Let's stop fighting each other and start loving each other and helping each other and supporting each other and finding solutions.
And, you know, very much change starts at home. So it's, you know, pick a few things from what we've said tonight, do a bit of research, maybe try meditation, give it a go for a couple of weeks. You know, you've sort of heard what we've got to say, so give it a go and see if you notice the differences. Maybe next time you walk past a homeless guy, buy him a cup of tea or a sandwich and have a 5-minute chat with him. See how he feels after it, but see how you feel, because I really notice when I do something nice for someone, why don't you feel good?
Random acts of kindness.
Absolutely. You know, set yourself a task, 3 a week, whatever, but try something, do something different, you know.
Because I think it's only in that little changes, and it's easy to think, oh, well, that's not really a significant change, that's not doing a lot. But if 100 people do that, then that's a huge change. And other people will witness what those people are doing and think, oh, that's kind, and they'll consider doing it next time. So again, it's like you say, if you start something at home, and you might not think you're making a difference, but actually you will be. So really appreciate you listening tonight. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you've got any comments or you need any help and support, just get in touch. And we look forward to have a great week, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
Have a great week, everybody.